All right. I'd like to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Glad to be here with you again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. God, we just ask your blessing upon us as we have met together today, Lord, that we might find courage and find strength and perfect peace, Father. Our trust in you, Lord. Again, we just want to thank you for all that you do for us. Fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom and understanding. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. We'll open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. It's amazing. These teachings of Christ that, if applied, are so liberating, such a blessing. Appreciated Brother Hans's talk this morning. Just a real blessing. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We've got quite several directions here thinking about this morning, but I want to start with this. I put an emphasis on verse 11, the last part of it. It says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. We are living in changing times. The Bible would call them perilous times. You know, we've always thought that things were odd a little bit with the world, but we are seeing right now things happening that it's almost astonishing. Week by week, things are changing. Things that we always just took for granted are just seem to be just vanishing away. I mean, the country we live in is changing completely. It just looks so opposite and looks so dreadful to what we've come to just expect, I guess. In Isaiah, I'm going to read a few verses here. I'm going to start with Daniel. That's where I want to go. No, Isaiah, I'm sorry. Begin reading in chapter 3. In verse 1 it says, for behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Judah and from Jerusalem the strong man and the strong woman, the strength of bread and the strength of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the diviner, and the elder, the captain of 50, the wonderful counselor, the skilled artisan, and the prudent disciple. Then it says, I will give children to be their princes, and mockers shall rule over them. The people will collapse, everyone on everyone on another, and everyone on his neighbor. The child shall be arrogant toward his elder, and vulgar towards the honorable. In another place it says in Isaiah, that says that, woe unto you when that call evil good and good evil. Call black white and white black. Another way to say it. That you call good evil and evil good. We're living in times just like this, when what is good is considered wrong and what is evil is considered good or the norm. The child, the confused, the reprobate, the despicable, the corrupt are ruling. They seem to be just taken over. They may have always been there, but just recently, just blatantly, it just seems like that's what's happening. In Daniel, the Bible says that God appoints our rulers over us. Here we see in Isaiah that, you know, it's not your strong man, it's the children that will rule over you. That doesn't come about just because God just is bored and wants to see a change. This was what happens whenever people turn their back on God. There's a cycle that you can follow it throughout history. It's all over in the Old Testament. Children of Israel are in bondage, in slavery. And in their bonds and in their slavery, their hard lives, they turn back to God. And then God gives them freedom. They go from bondage to freedom. And in their freedom, they become prosperous and successful. They become very prosperous and successful. And then they become slothful and lazy. After someone has been prosperous for so long and there's no need to actually have to work or anything to sustain yourself, you just live off the work of someone else. You live off of your parents. You live off of the prosperity that's all around you. And so people become to be, they just live a life that becomes so futile, so worthless. And so they begin to add things to their lives. Because there's no need to work or there's no need to just struggle to survive, it's just like a cancer that begins to grow in society. And they begin to find ways to entertain themselves. And so they look for all this pleasure and ways to satisfy themselves. And that brings them into bondage again. It's a cycle. It's a cycle that has gone from the very beginning to the very end. From bondage to freedom. From freedom to prosperity. From prosperity to ease. And from ease, right back into bondage. You know, we don't like seeing things changing around us. And who knows, it might not. We don't know the future. But right now we're seeing things we don't like to see. And it's a little scary to us sometimes. But But there's nothing new under the sun. And there's no surprise to God. You know, we would love to see wonderful leaders over us that just made the right choices, that really did the right thing. But just like all through the Bible, when a king died, you found out pretty shortly that he wasn't the same old king that was there before. Sometimes for better, sometimes for worse, but things changed. And that's the way life is. Things change. We love that comfortable resting place where everything is the same. And we can just depend on tomorrow being just like today. That we just we feel so comfortable and at rest and so confident that tomorrow's going to be the same. And we just love to live our lives that way. But that is as delusional as we can, as anything you can ever think of. You know, people talk about believing a lie or believing delusion. And yet, that's one of the things we try to convince ourselves of, that we can find our rest in everything being good tomorrow, just like it was good today, or like it was good yesterday. Then it's just going to continue the same. You know, the rich ruler, the rich man that tore down his old barns and built big ones, bigger ones to put all his stuff. What was his mindset? That things aren't going to change. They're only going to get better, and I can sit back and rest peacefully because times are good. And what did God tell that man? Thou fool. Tonight your soul will be required of you. He tried to find rest and comfort, like we all want to, just in the goodness of the things that are around us. That song we just finished singing, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, who trusts in everything going right. That's not what it said, was it? It's not what the verse says. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, that can just find such comfort in things being the same. Same old, comfortable, ease, taking it easy. Even a job we just get used to, and it's just the same old job, and we just like to just do our job and do our work. There's comfort in that, and there's rest in that. But it's not the rest we need. Because something will happen. Something will come along while we're just doing our job. Somebody will come along and say, hey, quit doing that and come and help me do this. Oh, just how we love just to finish what we're doing. And then that gets all disrupted. So there goes our peace. Boom. Because we had our peace in a delusion. In something that won't last. People look at those things. They try to find their security in this world. The most secure thing they can get their money invested in or whatever. That nothing will destroy it. Nothing will shake it. And they think, that's wise. That's wise. Because you can find comfort and rest in it. It doesn't change. So we're secure. And lo and behold, something comes along. And what we had trusted in is gone. What we had trusted in and what we thought was so secure just vanishes away. And yet, you look at the science of all of it. If you just think it all out and plan it all out, you can find the most secure thing. But it too will vanish away. And people scoff at the idea of God. And people finding rest in God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You see, that kind of peace doesn't revolve around what the world's doing. That kind of peace doesn't revolve around who the leader of our nation is. That perfect peace, that kind of peace doesn't revolve around if our country was taken over by a foreign nation. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The person that's looking for financial prosperity and stability, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Whether he's broke tomorrow or whether he's prosperous today, it doesn't matter. Because our hope and our rest is not in those things. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Sure, we want the hope and the thought of those nice things, peaceful lives, comfortable lives, but there is a threat with all of that kind of stuff. You're the next step away from bondage in that condition. You know, actually, if we were in bondage, we'd be the next step away from freedom. Going up. So if we're trusting in the situation we're in, it's just a matter of we're headed somewhere else. We're headed somewhere else. So if our physical is going from prosperity and ease into bondage, our spiritual should be hoping for the freedom. It just depends on which way you want to look at it. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Sometimes we see the situation and we want to really almost fight for the rights, the blessings that we have. We want to keep them and we want to do whatever we can to keep them. We see things going on and it upsets us. Why is it happening this way? Why is it going this way? And it just incites us to get involved. There may be a persecution in the horizon. There may be hard times in the horizon. Doesn't sound too pleasant. Sounds a little frightful, actually. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, his mind is stayed on thee. You know, there's people, we can get in all kinds of trouble if we wanted to, for standing up for what's right. I mean, we could just get into all kinds of trouble for that. And we would feel like we were being persecuted for righteousness' sake. This verse I read this morning in verse 11, it says, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of your political views." There's no blessing in that. That's not where the promise lies. because of me, he said. You know, there's a lot of times that I've had people get upset with me. And there's usually, when I look back at it, a lot of times, I look back and I see that I did something pretty stupid. That I brought some of that on myself. You know, there's a lot of people that would just love nothing more than to be a martyr, a religious martyr. And so they go and they yell and they scream and they just set it up to where someone's going to get upset with them or someone's going to persecute them. And then they get in trouble. And then they say, oh, praise the Lord, I did it all for the Lord. I'm being persecuted for the Lord. 90% of people who think that they're persecuted for the Lord, they're just, most of the time, persecuted because they're just obnoxious. They're just hard-headed. They're just become a pain in the neck until someone lashes out at them. And then they gleefully, proudly smile and say, oh, it's all for the Lord. But that's not where the blessing is. You know, I'll just use one thing. Most of us don't like just being told what to do. And I'm right there with you. And a lot of times people don't have a right to tell you. I'll just use an example of a mask. I don't like it. I think it's foolish. I don't think there's any science behind it at all. But am I ready to go to jail for not wearing one? Will that be the kind of persecution? That's because of me. I don't really think it is. What hill are you willing to die on? Just because we do something that we don't want to do and we don't think we have to do, but we can just do it. We need to be careful about picking our battles. We can spend all our ammunition on some little molehill, and then when the real battle comes along, we're out of bullets. There's a lot of things I don't like that's going on. You know, whenever I was with the Mennonites for a while, I had to wear suspenders and had to wear black shoes and a black socks and drive a black car. And I told people, I don't believe this. I don't really think it's necessary. But it ain't going to hurt me none. I can do it. I can live this way. But then when it came to trying to tell others that they had to before they could be a part of the body of Christ, I couldn't do that. And that was a hill worth dying on. It wasn't a hill worth dying on that I would have to wear suspenders or something like that. We need to pick our battles. Choose your battles wisely. And in all of it, you know, it's been pretty hard this last whole year. Just seeing things happen. And it's so easy for us to get our peace all wadded up and get all upset. But those aren't our battles. Those aren't our hills to die on. When we think of the martyrs, the true martyrs, most of the time, they weren't the ones out there making the noise. You know, I read history, and it's neat that people were forced against what they wanted to do to persecute the believers in a lot of cases. Think of, was it Hans Derrick? Is that the man that ran across the water in the ice, the thin ice? Dirk Willems. Yeah, that was pretty close. Anyway, he was an Anabaptist. What happened? Well, he got baptized again. And then he became a righteous, godly man. The thief catcher was ordered by the authorities to catch this man because he was an outlaw. Was he a murderer? No. Was he a thief? No. Was he a criminal? No. Was he a rowdy ruffian? No. He got baptized again and wanted to follow Jesus. He didn't create no big religious scenario where he would feel important and then, oh, they're persecuting me. No. Well, they found him. And the thief catcher was right on his heels, running, chasing him. Thief catcher was the fastest guy in town. That's the one they wanted to be the sheriff so he could catch him. And Willems come up to the river, and it just had a light ice on it. And so he just took across the river running. And he made it across, light-footed. Well, the thief catcher right behind him. And the thief catcher almost made it, and the ice broke, and he fell into the water. And Dirk Willems was free. But then he stopped. The man was struggling, drowning, going to freeze. And so he went back and helped the very man that was going to throw him in prison and have him murdered, have him killed, and brought him up out of the river, built a little fire for him so he could warm up so he wouldn't freeze. And the sheriff and the authorities were on the other side of the river saying, "Catch him! Get him! Get him!" And he said, "This man just saved my life." He said, "I don't care. You've made an oath. Get him." And so he caught him. But it was the hardest thing for him to do, because this man was a good man. It wasn't because he had done anything wrong or caused a bunch of trouble. He was persecuted because he was a good man. He was suffering because of me, like Jesus said. It wasn't anything that he had conjured up or his pride had caused. He just did what was right. And he became a martyr for it. They caught him, had him. I don't know whether they hung him or drowned him or beheaded him. But I'll guarantee you, he knew where his peace was. But it wasn't without a struggle. You know, we have these ideas that being a martyr or being wrong. Oh, you just feel so warm and fuzzy inside, and you can just do anything for Jesus. That's not the battle. It's a war. You have to choose to have perfect peace. You have to choose to trust. Faith, if you don't have it when times are easy, times are hard is whenever it's going to be tested. Learn to have that perfect peace now. Whenever things just look bad. And then we'll be prepared for if things actually get bad. If we can't have peace when they just look bad, how in the world are we ever going to make it through when they are bad? The song we had talked about, the prayer that Hans had said, from prayer that asks that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on thee. From fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher, from silken self, O captain free, thy soldier who would follow thee. From subtle love of softening things, from easy choices, weakenings, not thus are spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified. From all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. We don't aspire to mountains by coasting down hills. We don't ascend mountains by sitting in an easy chair. You ascend them by toil. Struggle. We don't get stronger taking it easy. You get stronger when you exercise your muscles in whatever you need to do to be doing. Lazy is a product of prosperity. Seeking ease, seeking comfort. And we can relate to this physically. But what about spiritually? The cry is spiritually, I mean, you go to church and they want you to come up and be saved so that you can feel at rest and comfort. And that's as far as anybody ever goes, usually. They get to that place of ease. And the next thing you know, they're in bondage and don't even know it. Whenever we follow the Lord, it's an uphill battle. It's a struggle. But that struggle is what gives you the strength to climb over the next hill. And that hill and the struggle that it causes gives you the courage and strength to get over the next one. Ease and coasting goes down and down and down and down. Appreciate the thoughts in that, inspiring us. If we want peace, perfect peace, we've got to aspire to it. It's not just going to be handed to you. You're going to have to find some unrest. There's going to be things that will unsettle you. And you'll have to go through things that are unsettling to have the strength and the courage to have peace. God doesn't hand things to you on a silver platter. They're available. They're free to any who would aspire to them. But it's not for the sissy, and it's not for the weak. You may be weak in body, you may be frail in body, but you can still be a lion in your spirit and in your heart. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace if mine is stayed on thee. May the Lord add his blessing. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Our assignment was, Olin said, he gave the example of someone that has a tool that, you know, you need the tool, and then here someone has it, and it's a real blessing because you can just borrow it from them. He told us to think of an example of some brother in the church that has something that he can help other people. He can be there to help whenever help is needed. And I thought about how my dad has gone through anxiety different times. And so I've seen him help a number of people that have anxiety since he went through it.
I got Acts 4:34-35. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed them to each and anyone had need. So it's kind of neat how when they're all willing to give and do more than their part and go the extra mile, things went smoothly and needs got cared for.
One of the last work bees, I forgot some tools, and so I was having to borrow other people's tools, and then I was helping Olin, and he saw that I didn't have a tape measure and a square and stuff, and he went over to his truck and got out the tools and lend them to me. That was really nice.
I was thinking about how people really like it when someone is a helpful person. Like if there's a business and they have really helpful, friendly service who are always just trying to find ways they can help that, people really like that business and they'll be real popular. And then just other people who just, it's not like their business or anything, they're just always trying to help anybody that they see. Long, that's just really nice. Like yesterday when we were working here, I was trying to get a ladder out the door, but it was too big for me to do it by myself, and somebody came and opened the door for me, and that was really nice.
I thought about Brother David, how he helped Joanne and her family and was real close to them and through time of need and everything. And then many people got upset and left and got upset, but he continues to stay calm and help and do what's right.
Brother Damian in Mexico, he's a really good help to different people. And he goes and gives things to the poor people and shows a good example.
Hans and Arthur and Philip came and helped my dad put in the drain pipe.
I was thinking about the roofing crew or at the sale barn even. A lot of times we'll go and we'll be working, and if you're needing something or you need help with something, you just got to ask, or not even got to ask. Somebody will always there to help. And at the sale barn, if you're doing something, there's always people there willing to help. And I was thinking kind of along the mind of Micah or Jaden, when people like and when people are helpful and ready to do something and don't need to be asked, they're just there waiting to help.
I read this story about a boy that was like the poorest people in the community, and then he got hurt, and this other boy came and he had money to buy himself boots, but then he instead bought boots for the boy that got hurt.
The other day, I was at work. Somebody came in to rent a skid loader with a postal auger, and my boss told me to go out there and help him, but the guy told me that he didn't need any help. So I kind of just stood and watched, and I realized that he didn't know what he was doing. He was trying to put the auger onto the bit and trying to do it by himself, but you gotta lower the arms down to do it. So I went out there and helped him, and then he asked me why I helped him. I told him, well, I seen that you needed help. And I said, and he's like, well, I really appreciate it. I didn't want to ask for help because I thought I could do it myself. And I said, well, that's something, sometimes you can't do everything by yourself, and it's better just to ask for help.
Good morning, everyone. I wanted to talk a little this morning about persevering and always improving and getting better. And that song we were practicing last week, the Make Me Thy Fuel, or 526, I was really impressed. I liked that. It was talked about easier things or the easier way and different things like being protected, sheltered from the winds that beat on thee. And it's things like, it says, from prayer that asks that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on thee, from fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher. From silken self, O captain free, thy soldier who would follow thee? From subtle love of softening things, from easy choices weakening things. Not thus are spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified. He didn't have an easy way. He was always climbing or doing better and everything. And from all that dims that Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. And then it says in the last verse, give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod, make me thy fuel, flame of God. And I like that about not just sinking to just go along or coast or just go along it like easy or but it encourages to climb, to do better. And there was that made me think of a quote I had heard once. I looked it up. Thank you. And it says, when you stop growing, you start dying. And that's something you can't just grow or whatever, you think you're to a good spot and then just think you're gonna go along at the same speed or same effort. You'll just coast back, and you might coast back to being a clod, like the song said. But if you're trying to grow and do better, like this is saying, it'll be trials. You have to come through, and God will give you like a test or a hard thing. He might let someone do something or whatever to see if you can grow and get through that. And I like that. The verse in James 1:13 says, or 12, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." And that, if you're always growing, that's what we need to stop from falling back. And there'll be trials to go through it, but that's what makes us stronger. David quoted in his message once, someone had said, or his grandma said, whatever won't kill you will help you grow better, or make you better. And so that's what I thought about. So that's the main, what I had was just always persevere to do better, and persevere under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And there's a verse somewhere else that says, "And he who endured to the end, the same shall be saved." So that's about all I have. What's that? Okay. Dear God, help us today to hear your word and to do what you want, and to realize that it's always not going to always be a easy life or whatever. Just help us to persevere if the trials come, and to be what you want us to be, and just thank you for being here. And amen.
For the boys' lesson, one of the boys asked her father what they need to improve on to grow up to be a good husband / father, and then shared that the steps we're doing to improve.
The Lord is my life.